When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. We are talking the NBA Trade Deadline Part 2, Winners and Losers. Let's go!
Six. Jordan, open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life! He's possible!
G'day and welcome back to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Sports Ethos. My name is Mitch Casey and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. Joined once again by Callum Mack, the guru himself. How are you, man?
Yes, doing very well, Mitchy. Big day for us, as you know.
Big day for us. So we've broken up our fantasy trade deadline takes into two podcasts because there's so much to talk about. So let's get stuck straight into it. If you want to hear all of our ads, our drops, players we're watching, how things shake out, and also just our general takes on the NBA trade deadline in general, listen to our previous podcast or video on YouTube. I'll leave a link up here that you can check it out. Make sure you give that video a like and give this video a like as well. And let's get stuck into it. We're talking winners and losers. Let's start positive. Let's start with the winners. I want to throw my guy out there who I did say a couple of podcasts ago that I think he is a buy low candidate, and I'm feeling pretty good about that now. De'Aaron Fox, I think, is going to have a big finish to this end of the season. And I'm hoping that you guys, if you had him on your roster, you stuck it out. I'm expecting some big things coming from De'Aaron Fox this finish the season. Are you as enthusiastic as I am, Cal?
I am just as enthusiastic.
Yes.
I know he was one of your guys.
Yeah, he was.
And unfortunately,
Well,
you've been apologizing for it the whole season, but here we are. The trade has happened. They've given him all the keys, pretty much like what they had done previously. But with Haliburton gone now, he will be running the show and he will be putting up, I think, similar stats to what he's done previously and the kind of 25 points a game. I've always said that this guy reminds me a lot of kind of prime John Wall when he was running the court before Haliburton's kind of step up into the league. But with him now, I think him and Sabonis can be a good kind of pick and pop, pick and roll combination. It's just more finding shooters around him. But regardless, huge win. De'Aaron Fox.
He looks motivated. He looks like he's playing fast, which is like this team, can I say? I watched that game against Minnesota. This team is terrible defensively. They cannot stop the ball. So what that means, and it's a good thing for fantasy points because they're going to have to put up some points if they're going to win games, and they're trying to win games. So they're going to be getting up and down the court. You know, they won 132 to 119 against Minnesota the other day. So 132 points in their first game together. That's pretty good. And I can see the chemistry already there with him and Sabonis. So I do like it. I would love to see if you're someone who unfortunately listened to me in the preseason and has Fox on your roster. Let us know in the comments and hopefully you stuck fast. Like me, he's on my Dynasty roster. So let's get excited together. Let us know if you have him on your roster because I'm expecting big things and a bit of a similar finish to what we had at the end of last year, I think, is coming for De'Aaron Fox. Let's go to the other side of that trade. Miles Turner, this was one of your calls, actually. You were saying, let's buy a lower Miles Turner. I was a bit worried about the injury, but he's stayed over in Indiana. He seems excited that Sabonis is gone now and he's going to get more offense. So, well done, Cal. I doubted you, but I won't ever again. I think he's a big winner here, assuming he comes back and plays.
Yep, yeah, that's true. There is, I guess, some risk that they could just go for a full tank. I think they will just try and start some new lineups, see how it feels with Miles Turner there, because he's young anyway. You might as well see what fits around him.
Yeah.
But the offense will definitely be more migrated towards him now. I think he's going to get more shots. He will probably get more rebounds of Sabonis out of the mix as well. So it's just going to be a huge net positive all round. Even the injury itself, I was kind of thinking they were leaving, probably telling him to take his time just because he could be traded and they didn't want to do anything any worse. But now it's confirmed. He's on the roster. Sabonis is gone. He is definitely a huge winner.
Yeah, he's definitely going to see an increase in his rebounds and his points per game, which have always been a bit of an issue with him in terms of like big men stats. Obviously, he gives you the blocks and he gives you good threes from that position. Percentages are pretty good as well. But, you know, his weaknesses are definitely going to improve without a player like Sabonis there next to him. I'm just reading the some reports have been saying that he's back early March, which is starting to get a bit close towards fantasy playoffs. So, you know, hopefully you can still hold on to him for as long as you can. He probably is someone who is going to be a second round player, really, to finish the season if he can get back and play his full allotment of minutes. That's how I would be evaluating him moving forward on a per game basis. So hopefully you can hold on to him for that long. So we've got a bit of time to see how the rest of the roster shakes out, but when he does come back, or if he does come back, he's going to be a big winner. Let's talk about Yusuf Nurkic and what is left over there in the Portland Trail Blazers. Only he and his teammates, who I also think is a big winner, let's group them together, Anthony Simons. They're the remaining starters left on this roster in Portland, and I think that they're going to be seeing a lot of usage. Nurkic is obviously going to get a lot of rebounds like he has. Simons is going to get a lot of threes, a lot of assists. So I think those two are big winners with a lot of players moving out of that team. Do you agree?
I do. And they've both been playing really well recently as well. And I just think it's just going to be maintained for the rest of the season now.
Yeah.
In the past month, you got Nurkic putting up a crazy 17 and 12, about three assists with a block and a steal. So good field goal as well, 52%. He's really been hurting you in free throw percentage. That has always been something that is pretty consistent. So that's something.
And turnovers too. He's a big man that racks up a lot of turnovers for that position.
That's true. Yeah. It is those two. Yeah. Turnovers and free throw, unfortunately, that are hurting. And I know you got Simmons, who's just been killing it. Honestly, ever since he's slid into that starting lineup, almost 4 3-pointers a game.
Crazy.
Over the past month. And that's going with 20 points and 5.5 assists. Everything else, I mean, the free throws are pretty good, I guess, for 2.5% attempts on 80%, but he's been putting together a pretty good package, and now that I guess they're going in tank mode, Simons is definitely a huge winner.
Yeah, I mean Simons is also a huge winner because he's actually going to start getting paid now. He's going to play on the court now. But yeah, Simons is also a winner as well. So I think just watch his field goal percentage. I think with him being maybe like the main focal point of offense, that will take a bit of a hit. So be wary that he's definitely suited more towards a punt field goal percentage team, or if you can withstand a bit of a hit there, because I don't think that he's going to, you know, I think his 44% from the field is going to come down a little bit closer to 40, in my opinion. But he'll still have the threes, the volume of points and assists there as well, and good free throw percentage, which hopefully will be enough benefit for your team. Let's go on to the next guys outside of this. So we're gonna head over to the James Harden trade and the winners from this trade from a fantasy point of view. I think Matisse Thybulle is a bit of a winner because obviously they got rid of a few of their other players in Seth Curry was a big one that left. Andre Drummond, obviously. But also the fact that they're getting James Harden back in, who is notoriously horrible on defense. So someone like a Matisse Thybulle, they're going to need to play him with James Harden a lot of the time to sort of help him out on that side of the court. So I see his minutes being very safe around that 30-plus per game. And so steals, blocks, you know what he does. He's not going to give you points. That's not going to change, but he's going to be putting up a lot of stocks, as they say in the business. Do you think he's someone that needs to be on rosters at this point, Cal, or are you happy to take a wait-and-see approach?
I actually think he should be added. I think he's a big winner. He should slot into the starting lineup. And people do kind of sleep on the steals and blocks that he does put up. Even in the past month, 1.7 steals and 1.1 blocks, mix of your 0.6 turnovers, which also is a fantasy stat when you care about turnovers.
It is.
He's been the 107th ranked guy. And I feel like he will get a bump in minutes. And with those, I guess the steals is elite. That's just worth earning right there. And when it comes to good blocks, good turnovers, reasonable field goal, he definitely is a guy worth earning.
Yeah. He definitely is probably more on that like specialist side of things. Like if you don't need, like if you're punting blocks or punting steals or whatever, like obviously you don't need him. But most teams do need steals. It's one of those swing categories that we do say a lot that teams do need. So he probably is worth rostering, and you could definitely do worse than having a Matisse Thybulle on your team, especially if you are punting points or if you're doing really well in that kind of category already. So on the other side of things, I think obviously Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are winners as much as they can be, assuming that we do can't get Durant back in time for fantasy playoffs. Kyrie Irving, obviously, he's a winner. Like, per game, he's going to be better, I think, but he's still someone who I would be trying to trade as much as possible because I don't think his vaccination status is changing. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I would. Kevin Durant, when he was healthy, he was a first-round pick, and that should be maintained, obviously, with Harden gone. Kyrie Irving, I guess you'd expect some of the assists to potentially go up, but on a per-game basis, he's still being a beast, and I guess what you're paying for in good percentages for a guard, and he's still been averaging 5.5 assists anyway, which is kind of consistent throughout his career.
Yeah.
So it is, with him and Ben Simmons, I honestly think it's a match made in heaven. I guess these guys... It's one of those things that never played a whole lot with James Harden, so it was hard to really assess those three. But with Ben Simmons, I think it's a good fit, and they should really maintain the sets they've been putting up.
Yeah, they'll pretty much have the same amount of chemistry with Ben Simmons as they did with James Harden because they haven't really played much together. So, I agree with you. I love the fit. I think it's going to be a bit more enjoyable to watch in Brooklyn personally. I think they're going to play a much more exciting brand of basketball with James Harden out of the picture. Let's talk about a guy who I've just been so impressed with this season, DeJounte Murray. I think he's a winner again because the only other real good guard in their backcourt, Derek White, is out of the picture. Obviously, DeJounte Murray is already the 10th best player in fantasy at the moment, so he's going to continue to be that, but I think that it's just another level of a bit more usage, a bit more ball in his hands moving forward. He's definitely the one and only primary playmaker on this team, so just lock him in. My question to you, a bit out of the box, but where are you comfortable drafting DeJounte Murray next year? Is he a first rounder?
I think a late first rounder, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, far out. I think
he is. He's their future. He's been playing every game, and he's been consistent throughout the whole season, and he's an all-star. So you can't really fold him.
He's been so good. I think he's like a early second to me, just because like there might be some regression coming back with those steals, but...
You can build so much around him, which is kind of like why I like as well.
He suits like some good builds, so you can get him and go with a punt threes free throw build and get maybe a Gobert.
You can punt points, punt threes.
Yeah.
There's a lot you can do and punt the field goal when you get your guard at the first spot. So
I think he's a big winner this season and obviously moving forward as well, depending on what they do in the offseason, but obviously I don't think they're moving to DeJounte Murray. I think I've got Kristaps Porzingis on this list here because he's a winner if he comes back, because he goes from being the second option on the Dallas Mavericks team to, clearly, as this roster is constructed, he'd be the number one option on this team. However, I am a bit worried and concerned about his shutdown potential. He is obviously chronically injured all the time. They didn't give up a lot to get him, so they don't feel the need or pressure to play him a lot of minutes. They're trying to tank, obviously, Beal's out for the rest of the season. So he's a winner, but he also might be a big loser as well. So just keep that in mind. If you are able to sell high on Kristaps Porzingis and he comes back and he plays a few games, I probably would because I'm putting him on shutdown watch. Would you agree?
He's probably the biggest candidate for a shutdown watch for me. The news of Bradley Beal being out for the season, that is why he is such a big winner on this with the trade and that news that he should be the number one option. But yeah, definitely shut down watch for Kristaps.
Yeah, yeah. I think yeah. Be careful with that one. And if you can get some good value back for him, I would pull the trigger.
And yeah, I'd be trying to trade it. I'd honestly just be trying to trade him. I'd be pretty worried, and you could use the hype of him becoming a number one option to potentially get rid of him.
Yeah, you could. You could spin that narrative if possible, if you have some players who are or players in your league that are a bit more optimistic about his return to the game. And of course, all the winners we highlighted that are on your waiver wire in our previous show on the ads and drops show. So make sure you check that one out for a more extensive list of players that are obviously gaining value enough for you to pick up off your waiver wire. Let's move on to some losers. Get a bit negative here, Cal. We did talk about this guy last time, but I just want to double down just to really rub salt in the wound of your fantasy roster. But Rashawn Holmes is probably one of the biggest losers in this fantasy trade deadline, period. Player, obviously, we all drafted him. He was someone who was ranked fairly highly in the preseason. It's just a shame to see him fall so far from what he was last season, which does suck. So keep your chin up there, high Cal.
Yeah, it does hurt. For a guy with preseason rank 35 who's been a letdown in general this season, he's down to 98, which is pretty bad from last season. And being benched, I did say, look, I'm going to hold on to him for the next few games. If he is consistently on that bench, then I'm just going to have to let him go, unfortunately. There'll be better players out there to pick up.
I would agree. His upside is too high for you to just outright cut straight away after one game sample size of what's going on. Look, I see a world where they can place the bonus and him together, but if that's not what they're going to do, then you can't hold him. So just make sure you're certain that he's coming off the bench before you drop him. Let's talk about a few other guys we haven't talked about in our previous pod. Chris Duarte, I think, is a bit of a loser with Buddy Hield, Tyrese Halliburton coming over in that trade. Duarte obviously was their young piece that they're going to quote-unquote build around, even though he's older than a lot of other guys that they might already have on this roster. For example, Goga Badadze, but he loses out with a lot more guard and wing depth on this team. He was also a bit of a borderline player to have on your roster anyway. Look, I don't think he's a straight up drop, but it wouldn't surprise me if in a few games time you're dropping him for someone else on your waiver. Would you agree?
Yeah. At this point, yes. There were some people that obviously did get traded in the Indiana trade as well, like your Jeremy Lambs. So it's a bit of a retooling. So I'd just say it's a bit hesitant just to see where it takes you. I wouldn't be dropping him.
Not yet.
I think he still is probably worth owning, but to see how the lineup does tend to go. And as we know, that Indiana team probably is looking to more tank anyway. So
maybe Buddy
inclined to give him the minutes.
Yeah. Maybe Buddy doesn't play that much. Like, who knows? I mean, apparently there was people trying to trade for Buddy, so I don't know if they weren't going to play him, why they didn't trade him just the deadline anyway. So that kind of tells me that they do want to play him a bit, and I think you want to play Tyrese Halliburton at least to start in getting used to with some of those other players. They're bad enough as it is. They're going to lose games, but we'll see. We'll see. Like I said, I wouldn't drop him just yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if he turns into a droppable player. Also another loser on the same team, Malcolm Brogdon, obviously Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, same sort of thing. He's another person who I've got serious shutdown watch on with his current injury and maybe future phantom injuries that pop up. Would you think that he's a shutdown watch for you as well?
Look, whenever you see the word Achilles, sore right Achilles for a tanking team.
Yep.
Definitely the top of my list.
Abort for sure. Yeah. If you can sell high, like if he comes back and plays, a couple of games, like it probably is hard right now, but if he comes back and plays a couple of games, I'd be trying to make a trade before your trade deadline and your fantasy league comes. So, see if you can. Another couple of guys over on the Clippers now, Marcus Morris Sr. and, Robert Covington, I think are both losers with just a few guys there now in Clippers. They've got a lot of players of the same kind of level of talent that I think they're going to continue to take minutes and usage off each other. Batum's there, Covington, Marcus Morris is there. You've got Luke Kennard there. You've obviously got a few other guys in the backcourt as well that all are vying for shots and minutes. So I think that those guys are losers. Probably not drops just yet, but again, similar to Duarte, it wouldn't surprise me if they turn into drops pretty soon.
Yeah, it's a weird roster now. They have so many of the similar players in Covington, Powell, Batum, Kennard, Marcus Morris. It's just Yes. Coffee as well. There's all these small forwards. They all play small forwards.
Terrence Mann.
I don't know how they're going to make it work.
Yeah.
Terrence Mann as well.
It's such a weird roster. It's such a weird, like, I don't know how this rotation is going to go at all.
Yeah, so like I guess for now, all of them are losers until we see who I guess is getting the consistent game time.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a question mark.
I really just should put Clippers here. Like in terms of fantasy, all Clippers players are losers from a fantasy perspective because I don't know who is going to get the minutes and who's going to be putting up stats on this team just yet. So we'll wait and see how that all shakes out. From the Philadelphia 76ers, I think there are a couple of losers here, especially a Tyrese Maxey, I think, is a big loser, and Tobias Harris. I think both are going to use usage. Maxey's going to use ball handling responsibilities, so assists are going to drop as well. What are your thoughts on these Philadelphia guys?
Maxey is a loser. Obviously, James Harden demands a lot of the ball, sadly. They probably will stagger them a bit and have Maxey probably starting, but also running a bit of that six-man unit. So we'll see how that plays out. But regardless, I do think overall he will be a loser, sadly. Joel Embiid, a bit of a loser too. I hate to say it because he is on my team.
Yeah.
He's been killing it recently. He's gone up to about the fifth or sixth pick in the overall. So you'll have to keep an eye on him, see how it works with James Harden. But the thing is, James Harden is – let so many threes fly, and that's just a lot of possessions. Joel Embiid won't be touching the ball.
Yeah, he has the ball in his hands a lot. Maybe they run a bit more pick and roll, which you don't see Embiid do a whole lot of, you can't do anything about it. Like, you just got to cop that Embiid's probably not going to be the number five overall player, but he's still going to be a first-round guy, I think. Like, I wouldn't worry too much about it. You just got to sort of see how it all shakes out. On the net side of things, I think that Seth Curry is probably the biggest loser, and probably Patrick Mills, Patty Mills, the Aussie legend. I think Patty Mills, I'm pretty happy if you go ahead and drop him and add someone else. Seth Curry, I wouldn't drop just yet, but he, again, like a lot of these other guys, it wouldn't shock me if he turns into someone who could be droppable, as his like main thing is just the threes. I see the points dropping on a team like this, obviously with a few superstars on the team, but we'll see, because obviously you've got Curry Irving in and out of the lineup, but just in general, the talent level and the shot taking on this team is higher than that of the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, and it's worth mentioning him and Joel Embiid had a great chemistry, and Seth Curry got a lot of these shots up.
And they needed his shooting on that team, whereas in Brooklyn, they've got other guys that can do that.
I still think they probably need his shooting, and he will get minutes, but I think, usage will be down. He's not going to put up four assists a game. That's definitely coming down. And I expect his points to take a bit of a hit too.
Yeah, yeah, I would definitely agree. Let's move on to the the Derek White trade, which I do think is going to affect Marcus Smart. So I'm listing both Marcus Smart and Derek White from the Celtics, who, by the way, I think that's a great trade for my Celtics as well. Probably doesn't push us anywhere close to getting close to the championship, but I like the trade for the Celtics. So good job, Brad Stevens. But anyway, I think both of them are slight losers, nothing too dramatic, but I think just, going from a situation in San Antonio where there wasn't many other options on offense and ball handlers to a team like the Celtics where, the ball's in Tatum and Brown's hands a lot and Marcus Smart there. He's still going to bring it on the defensive end. Both of these players will. So there will still be value there. Both lower field goal percentage kind of guys, so keep that in mind. But I think that they'll be okay, but a small hit in value. Are you more worried than I am about these guys, or what are your thoughts?
I think they'll both just take a slight hit. So they're definitely both losers. This is a shame. Like, Marcus Smart has been playing quite well recently.
Yeah.
You might even find that maybe Derek White gets more of the ball handling, but I still feel like he's putting up 5.6 assists right now. I don't really see that going up. So I just think they're both probably a loser at this point, sadly.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. But I wouldn't be doing anything crazy and dropping any of these guys or anything like that. And the last guy I do want to touch on from the Spencer Dinwiddie trade, as a result, I think Jalen Brunson is a bit of a loser because you've got him coming over. And I think that there's just more help in the backcourt there. You could say someone like a Tim Hardaway Jr. is also a loser, although he's probably someone you shouldn't have on your roster anyway. But I think Brunson, who's had a terrific season so far, just takes a bit of a hit in terms of minutes, usage, and maybe the assists as well, because Spencer Dinwiddie is going to affect that negatively. Even with Porzingis going, I think that someone like a Dorian Finney-Smith is probably going to be the one that benefits more from that than Brunson is negatively affected by the Dinwiddie acquisition. Do you see it the same way?
I see him more of as like a possible loser. We'll see how it shapes out just because he's been in the starting lineup. He's been putting up great numbers.
Oh, he's playing well.
Maybe they decide as Spencer Dinwiddie come more off the bench as a sixth man.
Yeah.
Still yet to be determined just because they've been quite good defensively this season as well. So, look, it looks like it could be a bit of a loser, but to be confirmed in my mind, he might maintain it.
Yeah, I think it's more of like that Marcus Smart, Derek White kind of loser where it's just a small hit. I don't think he's going to become someone that's going to be droppable. I'd still have him on your roster. To be honest, in 77% of leagues, you know, probably should even be a bit higher. But yeah, I think that he probably takes just a little slight hit in this thing. But I would definitely still hold on to him. Well, that will do it today, guys. We've talked a whole lot over these last two podcasts about the NBA trade deadline. I'm sure there's going to be more things that we haven't covered that come to fruition. So just keep your eyes on a few of these players, on a few of these teams. Watch some of these rotations play out. And there's usually a bit of a period now where there's some weird lineups. It's a bit of a mini, like, silly season that happens between the trade deadline and the All-Star break. We'll see how things sort of pan out. But if you have any questions, drop it below in the comments on YouTube. Hit us up on Twitter. Everyone who was following me on Twitter this morning got all of this stuff hot off the press, so they were in the know a lot quicker than if you weren't following me on Twitter, so make sure you do that. Make sure that if you can, like the video, give it a big thumbs up, make sure you're subscribed, and hit that notification bell so when our videos drop, you get notified and you can get the information as fast as possible. We'll see you next time. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.